Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Nacy, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Ryan, Padres Nationals. Got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. I think there's a lot going on with this team. Where do you want to start?
It's a big week. To me, that's the crazy part. It seems silly to say that about a road trip in May. Mm-hmm. And it seems even sillier to say that about a road trip in which you're starting with three against the Washington Nationals. This is a big friggin' week for these guys. Padres, you know, continue to struggle, lose two or three of the Red Sox, make up for it a little bit with a 7-0 win on Sunday. But it's time for them to get started, and there may be no better team in baseball to get right against than the Washington Nationals. Of course, we've said that about the Royals and the Twins and all sorts of other teams too. Kevin, you've been around this team. You had a great story in today's paper about sort of what's wrong with them and what needs to be fixed. How big is the next 3 days for them?
I think there's a lot of rich stuff in what you said. For one thing, we've been saying for a while, like, oh, this is a team they should. Okay, whatever. And the Nationals are almost the definition of middling, and that's the best you can say about them. The fact is their offensive numbers across the board are better than the Padres. But the pitching is where you can get them. Again, middling numbers. We are waiting for the Padres to attack middling pitching, be like carnivorous on middling pitching, which is what they should do. I agree. It's a big week. The Marlins, who are on the tail end of this, you play them next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Miami, actually have a winning record, and I can't really figure them out. They've got some good pitching. They've got a few good hitters. It's kind of like, I don't know. I'm surprised. Other than that, Skip Schumacher, one of the great baseball guys and one of the good people, is their new manager. I just keep watching them and be like, well, when are they going to sink? And maybe it's too early, but, you know, That's no easy place. Been a lot of bad series there recently. There have been a lot of good series here recently. Also, some weird stuff that's happened the last two times we've been here. A shooting outside the ballpark in 2021, where my lasting image is Fernando Tatis Jr. running out to save Jurickson Profar's kid. Or at the time, like, you thought maybe he was. We didn't know if the shooter was inside the ballpark, and everyone's running for cover, and Fernando Tatis Jr. comes booking out of the dugout and goes gets Profar's kid. It was wow. And then, of course, last year before the first game of the series here, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s suspension came down. But this is not a good team. Tonight, Mackenzie Gore, Yu Darvish. Woo! Awesome. Yeah, before I get into that, Ryan, I've been talking a long time. Where else would you like to go?
I think that you wrote something and have said something to me that I think really bears repeating here. We approach the fact that the Padres should beat teams like the Nationals because the Padres are, to us, a good team. Right? At least they've started the season as a good team. You have written now that when you lose to enough bad teams, you become a bad team, right? Is the idea that this team's going to get, you know, kickstarted and win 10 of 12 or 12 of 15 or whatever? I mean, is that in their DNA? Is that still something we can count on here? Or from what you've seen the last couple of weeks, is this a bad team rather than a good team playing poorly?
I count on nothing. Right. However, I say this rhetorically. Have you seen the players on the Padres team? They have the potential. They should be a good team. That's universal, basically, except for a lot of the emails I get, which are telling me they're a bad team. And that's fine. You may be those emailers, and anyone that's saying that could end up, you know, whatever. You're prophetic, or what, you know, could bear out that way. People inside of baseball believe the Padres are going to be better than they are. As a matter, be a playoff team. I count on nothing. But yes, absolutely, there will come a point where if this is the record, then you are a bad team or you are a middling team. This is not the point of the season where your record says what you are. But as I pointed out in my story today, you know, the other teams that started that were, you were going, what's going on with the Cardinals, the Astros, the Yankees, the Mets? Guess what?
They all figured it out. Yeah.
The Cardinals still have a worse record than the Padres, maybe by a game or two, but they were way down there. Mm-hmm. But above 500 by a lot now, the Yankees, the Mets and Astros are also above 500. So it is the time of the year where the pretenders and the contenders, you know, that were opposite of what you thought, they start to even out. If you're listening later, I'm doing this with my hands, you know, one up, one down. You start to even out. And so that's the point that we're at right now.
Absolutely. Kevin, you know, we talk about this team maybe not gelling as much as I don't know. There have been some things said that indicate that maybe this team has not gelled entirely yet. To me, in retrospect, it seems so silly. Well, of course they haven't gelled yet. You bring in all these new stars every year, and then throughout the year, is there something to the idea that they're still kind of getting to know each other a little bit here? I mean, between the World Baseball Classic, this group hasn't been together as a group a whole lot.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately and wondering if I should have thought about it before. I know that I did. I just thought that they would out-talent. You know, I thought that would make up for it as these things happen. And look, we've seen before the 25 Cavs for 25 guys on a team, and that's a euphemism for guys that don't like each other. Those teams have had success before. But increasingly, baseball likes to value chemistry and now that's also hard to quantify. And guess what? Every team that stands there with the confetti coming down talks about their great chemistry. And that may be true or may not be true or maybe relatively true. You know, just like everyone that, you know, not everyone, but a lot of teams were underdogs. No, you weren't, for goodness sake. but so it's really hard to quantify. But the Padres have identified that as something, right? Like not why they're losing. But like, yeah, that needs to be built. And it wasn't just recently. It was in the last couple weeks, actually, they started to talk about it. That, hey, we need to like do some things to enhance this aspect of getting to know each other, of gelling, and this unquantifiable thing that, you know, they believe and a lot of teams believe can lead to victories.
Joe Musgrove said something last week. Basically, hey, we need to get out of this clubhouse. We need to get away from this stadium and just get to know each other a little bit. I mean, it sounded like he was planning a pool party or something. But, it's funny to me that we're saying that in May, when maybe March would have been a good time to all get together. But maybe they didn't think chemistry would be an issue in March or in early April.
Well, there's been a 50% turnover, depending on the composition of the roster. But
sure.
There's been a 50% turnover and some key guys since last August. All right. Last year could have gone another direction. It's, it really could have. They righted the ship at the right time. And that often is what happens for a team that goes deep into October, as the Padres did. But a 50% turnover. Now that means that 50% of the guys were here too. So yes. And then also you had the World Baseball Classic where guys were in and out. Guys were gone for a week, 10 days. So you had that. They had some off days on the road, but I think there was one early where they got in at a decent time. And after that, it was like getting in at 2, 3, 4 in the morning to cities. Mexico City, you would think, nope, Mexico City, you got in late, you left late. It was logistically a nightmare, Mexico City was. A lot of time on buses. But look, none of this is going to be the quick fix, but I think that kind of all of it together can be. I think it's a much bigger deal that Juan Soto has just started hitting and still situationally hitting not great. Xander Bogaerts has gotten ice cold. Manny Machado's hurt was ice cold. Tatis is, I don't want to say ice cold, but, off and on. I don't have any complaints about Fernando Tatis Jr., but, he's not like carrying the team.
Right.
And I think that needs to happen. It was a disappointing, not disappointing. It was something that needed to be pointed out about Sunday. The top of the order still had like one hit, I think.
Right.
The Rougned Odor and Matt Carpenter carried them on Sunday.
Hey, man, you were the one who said last week, Rougned Odor, you think has a place on this team. He's a guy who gives you a professional at bat. I think that he went and he's proven, and again, we're looking at his numbers here. It's silly to say he's proven to be a valuable piece when he's still hitting 175.
He was over 19 or something at the start, or over 12 or something. So
right, but he is somebody now who actually, when he comes up, he's one of those guys where I stop what I'm doing to see, and the outcome isn't always great, but he has a plan.
He's not striking out four times in a game.
And if he's hitting in the bottom third of that lineup and has a plan that he's executing, that makes him an exception. I mean, he has been a glimmer of hope in a part of the order that just has not been any good. And I think that that's what we should talk about next. Go ahead, Kevin. Sorry.
No, people that are complaining about Rougned Odor, I'm not saying they're wrong, but making it the issue or one of the top 10 issues with the Padres is just not reality. unless one of those issues is your lack of depth, then okay, that's a issue, sure. But, you know, let's talk about the order, Ryan. Where would you like to start? Because, man, do I got a stat that I believe it's one of those that's like, well, oh, okay, yeah, okay, I figured that. And then if you really think about it, you go, what?
Blow my mind. Let's go. What is it?
So the Padres at six spots, six of the nine spots in the batting order are ranked in the bottom eight in OPS.
Wait, what?
Six of the nine spots, they're ranked at in the bottom eight in OPS, as in their number one hitter is ranked ninth in OPS. Now, that is everybody that's batted number one for the Padres. Right. Their OPS is the ninth best in the major. Go down the line. They have, at six spots, they are ranked 23rd or worse. Okay, that's interesting. Of course, I got it. Do you know how many other teams have that many spots ranked in the bottom eight?
Probably nobody, Kevin.
Zero. Not the Oakland A's don't have six.
Yeah.
Okay. So you talk about the bottom three. You talk about the top three. And here's the perplexing part. Your number two hitter, 23rd in OPS. Your number three hitter, 23rd in OPS. And yes, all three at the bottom are ranked in the top or in the bottom eight. Your number seven hitter is 25th in OPS. Your number eight hitter is 23rd in OPS. And your number nine is 28th in OPS. As in, among the number nine spots in the order, all 30 teams, the Padres are 28th. Yes, the bottom of the order has been abysmal. But you know what? So have the Twins, and they're in first place. Houston's got a winning record. Yankees got a winning record. Those teams all have number nine hitters ranked in the bottom. So
You mentioned the Oakland A's. I mean, you know who's crushing it for the Oakland A's, shockingly, is Brent Rooker. Do you know this?
Do you know who Brent Rooker is?
Yes. Who?
Brent Rooker is who'd the Padres get for Corey Kluber?
Oh, Ryan Ludwig.
Brent Rooker, good for you, man. It's freaking awesome that you're doing something. The A's trade Brent Rooker to somebody. He's now in a real lineup. The expectations are higher, and Brent Rooker isn't doing what he's doing. That's who Brent Rooker is.
Right. And then we could talk a little – well, yes. I mean, the Oakland A's have a couple former Padres who would be very valuable pieces on this iteration of the Padres if they could crack the starting lineup on this iteration of the Padres, and maybe they wouldn't. So –
you just blew off that no other teams. Ryan, $246 million, $76 million to the top three in the lineup on any given day. Or I shouldn't say that because Tatisa, but to Bogart, Soto, Machado. $246 million payroll and six of the nine spots, bottom eight in the majors. Mind blowing.
Well, and how about this? Some context.
No other team.
Half the teams in baseball aren't really trying either. Like that, to me, that's the crazy part, right?
There you go.
How many teams are either tanking or not spending or going with the youth movement? Looking at you, Washington Nationals.
The A's are like the kid in school who like could be better, but like, you know, is too cool for that. And so they're getting Fs because like they're not going to class. But we all know like they could be getting good grades. Right. And the Padres are that poor kid that's trying really hard and just getting D's.
They've got their hands up answering every question and they're just – God love them, not answering them right.
Corner of the Coliseum, and the Padres are trying their hardest and studying all night, and their mom bought them tutors, and they're getting D's.
Well, and this is something that you've mentioned in your fantastic Padres Daily newsletter, and if to our listeners, if you don't subscribe.
It's free.
Yeah, it's free, and it's great. You talk about the Padres being eager here, and about the Padres being really wanting to do well. You point this out in your newsletter too. This is not a team that is blowing it off. This is not a team that thinks it was going to roll out of bed and win 100 games. With the big contracts, Joe Musgrove's take about having a big contract and the pressure that puts on you, I thought was very interesting and kind of counterintuitive to the way I and many people probably think. Let's speak to that a little bit.
You know, it's funny. Yeah, Joe is obviously one of the more outspoken and he's candid and that's wonderful. Jake Cronenworth has talked about it. Manny Machado, even though he he would say he hasn't talked about it. He said something interesting the other day about having to talk, having to answer about failure all the time, which, by the way, Manny, you don't. So, but players in general, and he was speaking about that, to be clear, it wears you down, right? Mm-hmm. And the expectations are a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's just it. I mean, this is we were told this. Have you been to a movie, a blockbuster, and you were told how awesome it was? So you went in expecting this to be the best movie you ever saw. And you came out saying, this is the worst freaking movie I've ever seen. It probably wasn't, but your expectations were that it was going to blow your mind. The Padres are like they're not Ishtar, the original Ishtar that were like the worst movie ever made, right? But they're like, I don't know, Arthur 2. Okay. Like they're just terribly disappointing. Disappointing.
For me, by the way, I agree. You ever had a $100 steak, Kevin? Hopefully not on the company dime, but you ever been somewhere and you go,
Same thing.
This better be the best steak I've ever had.
Same thing.
Right. And not because the place has a good reputation, not necessarily because everybody's told you this is the world's greatest steak, but you sit there and you go, for $100, this better be the best steak I've ever had. Is that what we're saying here? For $240 million, this better be the best Padre team I've ever seen. And the fact is, they're kind of just okay.
Yes. And how angry would you be if that steak was overcooked and, had maggots in it? Sorry.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I mean, to me,
the Padres are that bad, but they're slightly overcooked right now.
Well, and this is the thing with expectations, right? If this were 6 years ago and their payroll was a third of what it is now, you'd sit there and be like, well, they're battling. But expectations say this, and the roster says, and their resumes say, this should be one of the best 5-6 teams in baseball. And right now they have 6 of their 8 position players in the bottom 8.
I'll put this in perspective. A couple ways it gives perspective. The 2019 Padres, who did have Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. Right. And let's see, Fernando had just gotten hurt. It was here, as a matter of fact, in Washington. A lot of stuff happens with Fernando here. They were, I believe, 23-24 at this point in the season. So you look at it and you in the now and you go, oh my gosh, these Padres are worse than that. I will say this, though. We knew that team wasn't 23-24. They weren't going anywhere.
No.
We knew on July 6th when they took 3-4 at Dodger Stadium that still, this was not a playoff team.
Sure.
This team now, you go, no, you have more hope now. It's in reality. I don't know what y'all were thinking in 2019 at 23-24, but there was no hope. This team has more hope.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because if this team, again, just plays to the stats in the back of its collective baseball card, this is a playoff team and a really good playoff team, I think.
Yeah.
Kevin, not to turn this into the Pollyanna hour here, but there have been some guys who I think are playing well above what we would have guessed, well above their expectations. One of those is Michael Wacha. The other one is Tom Cosgrove. Speak to both of those guys. Again, very different stories on each guy.
First Cosgrove, you're right. Very different stories. He's had one high leverage at bat, I think 2 medium leverage, and the rest are all very low leverage. But he also has come in and faced Rafael Devers, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts. He didn't face Betts, but he's faced some really good left-handers and gotten them out.
Right.
He's allowed 3 hits in whatever it is, 7 2/3 innings over 8 games, I think it is. And 2 of those hits one of them was off of him. One was a dribbler. So he's allowed like one, line drive, base hit. This is a guy, 26 years old, by the way, may have saved Jacob Nix's life. This was Tom Cosgrove accompanying Jacob Nix on the drunken night, infamous drunken night. If you don't know about it, go read about it. He's a really nice kid who seems completely unaffected by all this pressure. It is pressure pitching in the big leagues. I don't want to even say like a low leverage situation in a game that your team's up 7-0 or whatever. There's pressure, and he's handled it really well. Michael Wacha, super, super, super important. One of the guys who they gave money to. Obviously signed him in spring training. He certainly can make more if he continues to pitch like this, based on he can opt out, or the Padres can opt him in at $16 million a year after this year. Wow. There was some times, and look, it could happen where you're like, because he's not blowing anybody away, right? There isn't that in the back of your mind, like, wow, he'll be fine. It's about location, location, location. And it's about a really good changeup, a pretty good curveball. Wow. Yeah, I love watching a pitch. I think that him going seven shutout innings is one of the more magnificent things you can watch on a Sunday afternoon. I really do. Not that that's what he did Sunday. It was six shutout innings. But, he, you know, I just happen to like afternoon games, so that's how I said it. I just think it's magnificent. That's not to say watching Jacob DeGrom pitch isn't great. But, yeah, okay, of course, Jacob DeGrom, when he's healthy, is going to dominate most times. Michael Wacha, he's got to play some chess out there. I think he's fantastic.
Here's a sentence I never thought I would say this year. Where would this team be without Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo?
0-14 over the last 2 weeks. That's where they'd be without Wacha. Totally.
Well, yeah. He wins, and then they lose all their games, and then he wins again, and then they lose all their games, then he wins again. Yes, right. It's crazy. It's crazy. Speaking of pitching, to me, Mackenzie Gore is the story today. Obviously, a young man who you've covered over the years. Massive expectations for him. Could not throw strikes, rebounded last year and became a really nice piece. If you look at his numbers this season, good to very good. I mean, ERA, what, mid threes for a national team that's not very good. What are we expecting from Mackenzie Gore here? And is this a reunion game of sorts? Or again, with all that turnover, does it not matter?
Well, I think it matters to him, probably. I'll tell you this. I think it'll be emotional for him. He was devastated by this trade. You mentioned, I mean, all the work he did to finally become that guy, right? One of the best starts in Major League history by a rookie, 8 or 9 games in terms of minimum of 50 innings pitched and the lowest ERA. I mean, just fantastic. And he had become close with some of the other pitchers, become a part of that group that, you know, speaking of bonds, that starting pitching group last year bonded very quickly. And he was devastated by the trade. You know, for those of you maybe new to watching the Padres, they got Juan Soto by sending Mackenzie Gore, CJ Abrams,
James Wood.
Thank you. And 3 other players to the Nationals. It was a big deal. So the Padres' former number one prospect going against Yu Darvish tonight.
Right. Very interesting. Very interesting. Kevin, anybody on the Nationals jump out at you?
Well,
let's talk about Abrams. Okay. Yeah. CJ Abrams, another former Padres top prospect. Guy who actually, didn't he break camp with the club last year?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Obviously, you know, he's a guy who still needs to develop physically and otherwise. What tools does he bring to this team? And is this, if you have a youth movement, is this where somebody like CJ Abrams just kind of gets to learn on the job?
Yes, he can bring all of them. I mean, he was up last year because there was the surprise Tatis situation, the short spring training. Sure. I mean, he flashes all of the tools at times. At one point, he was leading, he might still be, but I don't know. At one point, not too long ago, he was leading the majors in errors. Mm-hmm. But he's got power. He has that potential. He is getting this chance. I don't have any idea how many teams he'd be starting at shortstop on, but he's here for the Nationals because they are the Nationals.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I
mean, but he has a chance. Look, this trade. These guys that are here, if James Wood were here, you would say, man, this would be a monumental measuring stick game. And this is how we will measure this trade. Does Juan Soto help the Padres win a World Series? Okay. Then if all 3 of the guys they traded away go to the Hall of Fame, it was worth it.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And does this game matter to Juan Soto? I mean, it's not his first time back. It's not his first time playing the Nationals, but
I don't know. I wouldn't want to get inside a guy's head, but I don't really think so. I mean, Juan Soto just needs to continue to play well to help his team and help himself.
Sure.
But he did come back here after the trade last year, which I think was a huge deal to him. Look, I think a big part of what's happened with Juan Soto is it was very, very comfortable as a National. Very, very comfortable.
Right. And going anywhere, much less
at a very young age.
Very far away to a city he probably had not spent much time in, an organization that was brand new to him. Yeah. It's crazy. Okay. Here's my, you know, we always try to hit you with something a little wacky at the end. Is this a team that will get up for its next series because of where it is, Yankee Stadium?
I mean, it used to be that team because, and it really didn't matter. Again, like, I think everybody gets up for that. The Yankees are very used to being that team. The Padres are not used to being that team with the target on his back. I will say this, like, the Padres at this point have no excuse, and I'm not saying anything. Like, I'm not implying that they would make this excuse, but, like, they have no excuse to not be up when they go to Marlins Park, whatever it's called now, Elon Hybrid Depot, something. They have no excuse, and there's 9,000 people, and it is a brutal place to play on a weekday. You know, I think on Wednesday there'll probably be like 11,000, and 5,000 of them will be screaming kids in the upper right field deck.
Field trip. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They have no excuse to not go there and treat it like Yankee Stadium.
Sure. Sure. It's a great point. This is a great place to jump off here. We're coming up. Padres Nationals 3-game series, 4:00, 4:00, 10:05 or something like that over the next 3 days. Kevin, enjoy your East Coast road trip. We will check in ahead of Friday's series against the New York Yankees at Yankee Stadium, which, again, when you talk Padres and Yankee Stadium, I think of two things. Tony Gwynn putting one off the facade. Mark Langston getting absolutely screwed on a strike call. But that's a conversation for another day.
I grew up a Yankee fan. It's hard for me to get too fired up. It's new Yankee Stadium. It's just hard for me to get too fired up.
That sentence, I grew up a Yankee fan, we will revisit next time we talk. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.